All right, so if you would turn in your Bibles to Leviticus 14, chapter 14, you might say, wait a minute, we're going backwards. Yeah, just for today, we're going backwards. Leviticus chapter 14, because we're coming to the communion table today, I thought this would be a good message because it's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. Really? Where's the blood of Jesus Christ? I'll show you. It's a great picture. You'll see all that in here because this is all about what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And so I'm looking forward to working our way through this and then coming to the communion table here today. Can you believe it's going to be 2025 in 2.5 days? Think about that. 2.5 days and we say goodbye to 2024 and welcome 2025. And we'll see what happens in 2025. 2024 is an interesting year. A lot of good things and a lot of rough things. We had 22 people come to know Christ as Lord and Savior on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, yeah. So praise God for that. Many of them were new commitments to Christ. Some were recommitments to Christ. But praise God what He's doing around here. And so, I thought we would do this chapter here today. Now, it's important, this chapter, chapter 14, it says there in verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law, or ritual, if you will, of the leper for the day of his cleansing. So this is all about the cleansing of the leper. Now, in chapter 13, it's all about diagnosing the leper. Somewhere along the line, a priest followed the instructions of God and diagnosed this man as a leper. Okay, and so he was pronounced unclean, and he was not allowed to come into the camp any longer. He was an outcast. That's chapter 13. Here in chapter 14, it's about the day of the cleansing of the leper. Now, John taught this chapter about a month and a half ago in the middle of November, and he spent a lot of time talking about leprosy, the disease of leprosy. Today is called Hansen's disease. I'm not going to get into all that today. If you want to hear some of that, go back. If you didn't get that message and listen to it, it was great. But today I'm just going to focus on the cleansing of the leper and the amazing picture that we see here in chapter 14 of what the Messiah would do when he would come, of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. See, Jesus cleanses us of sin. And leprosy is a type or a picture of a sin. As a matter of fact, we are the leper. We are the leper. Like the leper, we're infected with an incurable disease. Leprosy was an incurable disease. There's only one person in the Old Testament that was cured that we know of from leprosy. That was Naaman. Other than that, we know of nobody. And only God can cure leprosy. And listen, only God can take away our sin. Only God can cleanse us from our sin. So the cleansing of the leper is really a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. See, leprosy is an incurable disease, and so it's a death sentence. If you were a leper, you knew you were going to die from that leprosy. Well, we came into the world with a death sentence as well, because we're infected with a disease called sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Adam sinned, sin brought death into the world, and that death spread to all men. So we all come into this world with a disease called sin. Why do we sin? Because we're born that way, right? We're born sinners. And so if we remain that way all throughout our life and we never receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we will die in our sins, right? That's what the Bible teaches us. Adam sinned, sin brought death into the world, and death spread to all men. And David picked up on that in Psalm 51. He said, I was conceived in sin in my mother's womb. All right? So we're all born with a disease called sin. And nobody can cleanse that sin or heal us except for God Himself. It's an incurable disease that we have, just like the leper. And so here in chapter 14, God is laying a really interesting picture, an amazing picture as far as I'm concerned, of what the Messiah would do, what Jesus Christ would do when he came into the world. See, in the New Testament, Jesus came when he started his public ministry, and he came preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand, and he healed many people. He raised people from the dead, and he cleansed lepers. That's the word that's always used, cleansed lepers. And so here is a picture of the leper being cleansed and the instructions that God gives, but it's also a picture of how we are cleansed of our sin. As a matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And of course, we know 1 John 1, 9. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so God makes us righteous when he cleanses us. It's called justified, declared righteous, just as if you've never sinned. And so, in verse 2, it says, this shall be the law or the ritual of the leper for the day of cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. Now, remember, in chapter 13, the priest pronounced him unclean. And now, for the cleansing of the leper, he will be brought to the priest to be pronounced clean. Okay? So, he shall be brought to the priest. In verse 3, it says, and the priest shall go out of the camp because the leper is an outcast. He's not allowed in the camp. So he goes out to the camp. He goes to the leper. And the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed, only God can heal it. All right? Man can't do it. And the priest can't do it. Only God can do it. But if he sees that he is healed, that the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Interesting. Two living and clean birds. One would be killed. The other would be set free. Why two birds? Well, it takes two birds to represent all that Jesus did for us on the cross. One would represent the cleansing and the death of Jesus Christ. The other would represent being set free and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Two clean and living birds. And then there's the cedar wood. Cedar wood is a picture of the cross. Was the cross made of cedar wood? I have no idea, because nowhere in the Bible are we told what kind of wood the cross is made of, and it doesn't really matter anyway. However, from this passage, some people believe that maybe the cross was made from cedar wood. We don't know. But it's a picture of the cross. And then there's scarlet. What do you think scarlet represents? Blood, right, exactly right. It's a picture of the sacrificial blood of Jesus' cross at Calvary. And then there's hyssop. Where do we see hyssop? Well, the night before the Passover, remember? God said, I'm going to send a destroyer, and he'll destroy all the firstborn in Egypt. But the instructions for the firstborn in Israel is to take hyssop. Hyssop's a little like a plant or a bush that grows on rocks in wet areas. And so it's like a little bush. And you would take it and stick it in the blood of the lamb that was slain. And then you would put it over the lintel and the doorpost, forming a cross, the lintel and the doorpost. And the destroyer would pass over those houses, and that would be a picture of salvation. And so you see hyssop there. David said in Psalm 51, cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, and I shall be whiter than snow. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. But where do you see hyssop around the cross of Calvary? Well, you might remember in John chapter 19, right? They took a sponge soaked with sour wine and put it on the end of hyssop, the branch, and raised it up to Jesus so he could drink before he died on the cross and said, it is finished. Very interesting. So all this related to the cross of Calvary. You see the picture here. And then in verse 5, it says, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Now think, in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, an earthen vessel, The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came down from heaven, fully God. He came down from heaven and took on flesh. He came in an earthen vessel. Paul would say later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, that we have the light of Jesus Christ in an earthen vessel, right? Jesus came and took on flesh, an earthen vessel, and he was killed on the cross in an earthen vessel. Very interesting. Very interesting. And he was killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Running water is fresh or spring water. And so this is how it would go, as John taught last time he taught this message. They would take that bird that was to be killed and wring off his neck. Ugh. Wring off his neck over this earthen vessel. And all the blood would be poured out into this earthen vessel over running water. So now you have a mixture of fresh water and blood, the blood and water mixture. Now, where do we see blood and water around the cross of Calvary? Right, exactly. When Jesus died on the cross, to confirm that he was dead, the Roman soldier put a spear in his side and out flowed blood and water. Very interesting. Very interesting. And so Jesus was killed there on the cross in the earthen vessel. And his blood came pouring out. Very interesting. And then in verse 6 it says, as for the living bird, he shall take it along with the cedar wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them in a living bird, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. So they were all dipped in this water-blood mixture. And this bird would now be full of the blood. And he, the priest, shall sprinkle it seven times. So seven is the number of completion, right? And he would take the blood and water mixture and sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed of leprosy. And he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. So now this living bird, full of blood and water, is now let loose. Think about this. He's full of blood and water, and now he's let loose. He just flies away. That's a picture of the life of the leper. Now, this leper wouldn't know anything about this being a picture, an Old Testament picture of the Messiah. He wouldn't know any of that. All he knew is he had a death sentence. He was going to die from leprosy, and now he's pronounced clean. And this is a picture of his life. Amazing. But the same is true of us. I mean, we've been cleansed from sin, a sin that leads to death. The wages of sin is death. We've been cleansed of a sin that leads to death, and now we have new life in Christ. In Romans chapter 6, it says that we were set free from sin. Sin no longer has dominion or control over us. We're set free from bondage. The chains have been broken. We're no longer slaves to sin, it says in Romans chapter 6. Now we're set free for a purpose. The purpose is to follow Christ, to live for him. And now we have assurance of eternal life in Christ. Very interesting. And then in verse 8, it says, he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all of his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that, he shall come into the camp. Come into the camp. The leper is now allowed to come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day, he shall shave all the hair off his head, his beard, his eyebrows, all his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. So no longer is this leper an outcast. He's now allowed to come into the camp. Now it says in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are far off have been brought near by the blood. Now that's speaking primarily to Gentiles, but really it applies to Jew, it applies to Gentiles. As a matter of fact, the next verse, verse 14, says that he has broken down the middle wall of separation, and the two now have become one. In other words, we're reconciled to God, yes, but we're also reconciled. Jews and Gentiles were not together, right? We know what Jews thought of Gentiles, but now they are one entity, the church, right? The middle wall of separation has been broken down. And then in verse 10, and on the eighth day, he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and one log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. And the priest shall take one male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering and a log of oil and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in a place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. Holiness, by the way, is the theme of the book of Leviticus. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood. Interesting now. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the tip of the right thumb, and on the big toe of the right foot to be cleansed. And so here now we see this same ritual that we saw back in Leviticus chapter 8. The cleansing or the consecrating of the priest, Aaron, the high priest, and his sons. We saw the same thing in chapter 8, where the blood was put on the tip of the ear, the thumb, and the toe. And so here we see that very same thing. Consecrated for service, they were set apart and made holy for service unto the Lord. Well, the same is for us. When we're cleansed with the blood, we're sanctified, we're set apart, made holy to God for service to Him. So now that the blood is applied, it symbolizes that we have been cleansed and we are now God's property. We hear differently because we now hear the word of God. Our hands are clean for service to do the work of God, and our feet will now follow the path of God. The blood has been applied, we're cleansed, we're God's property, or now to be used for His purposes, to serve Him, to live for Him. And I emphasize that because sometimes I think, we think, that once somebody is saved, well, okay, they're saved, that's the end. No, it's just the beginning. It's just the very beginning. We told each person that prayed to receive Christ on Tuesday night, this is not the end. It's just the beginning of a new life in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The old us, when we came to Christ, we were regenerated, made new. The old us died. We're a new creation in Christ. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. And so we told each person who came forward on Tuesday night, now you want to get to know your Savior. You want to read the Bible. Read John. It's written so that you may know who the Messiah is and in Him find life. Read Him. Fall in love with Him. Because when you do, you're going to want to live for Him. That's the idea. And so we told everybody that, and it's true of all of us. It's not the end, it's just the beginning. Now God wants to sanctify us, set us apart from the world unto Himself. We're not set free so that we could go do whatever we want. We're set free to serve the Lord. That's what it's all about. We're set free to go and preach. We're set free to go and preach. The number one reason why every one of us are here on earth after we're saved, born of the Spirit, is to fulfill the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's the Great Commission. And we're all called to do that. God has chosen in his infinite wisdom to have human beings who are saved go tell other human beings about the good news of Jesus Christ. And we told them, those who got saved on Christmas Eve, that very thing. You want to do this. You want to read. You want to pray. You want to go to church. And you want to go and tell other people right away about Jesus Christ, what he just did for you. Just like you were told tonight, go tell others. See, that's the Great Commission. And my prayer for all of us is we would do that all the more as we move into 2025. Well, we don't have to wait for that. We could do it right now. And then in verse 15, it says this, and the priest shall take some of the log of oil. What's oil a picture of? Holy Spirit. You guys are good. The Holy Spirit. So he takes some of the log of oil, and he pours it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in the left hand and sprinkle some of the oil with his finger seven times, number of completion, before the Lord. And the rest of the oil in his hand, that the priest shall put some of the tip of that oil on the right ear, on the thumb, and on the right big toe, on the blood of the trespass offering, on the blood. So the blood has already been applied to the ear, thumb, and the toe. And on top of the blood comes the oil, the Holy Spirit. So now that you've been cleansed with the blood, now on top of that, the oil is applied, symbolizing that now we're not only cleansed and set apart, but now we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to live for Christ, anointed, if you will, to do his will. We are to give our whole life to him. Now back to Romans chapter 6, it says in verse 13, now that we're cleansed and we're not under control of sin anymore, we're set free from bondage to sin, now we are to present our members as instruments of righteousness. So not just our ears, not just our hands, not just our feet, but also our mind, our eyes, our mouth, our heart, all of us. As a matter of fact, it goes even further than that. In Romans chapter 12, it says, Paul wrote, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your whole body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. It's your reasonable service or rational service. In other words, look what Jesus has done for us. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, enemies of God, actually, Christ died on the cross for us. And if God did that for us, then what can we give to him? What can we give to him? Us, right? We have nothing else that we could give other than to just present our body as a living sacrifice. Take me, Lord. Take me and use me. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. Take me and use me as you would have me to be used. It's reasonable. It's rational. It goes on to say in verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, pressed into the mold of the world, because you've been set apart from the world. Don't be conformed to the world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that happens when you read the word, and you walk in the Spirit, you're being transformed. And then you'll prove what is the good and perfect will of God for your life. And so I say these things because we are now God's property. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You belong to God now. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. What was the price? The blood of Jesus Christ. Your blood bought. You were bought and paid for. You were ransomed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You now belong to him. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, we're blood bought. God purchased us. He owns us. Our body belongs to him. It's reasonable and rational to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. The Old Testament sacrifices, they were dead. We're living. We're dead to our old self, but now we're alive to Christ, right? We've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And the life that we now live, we live in the flesh, and we live in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We do the will of God. We dedicate our life to Him. And so, we're going to come to the communion table. I'm going to ask the guys to come back up. Worship team. And we're going to come to the communion table. But before I do, you know, we're 2.5 days, we start a new year. I thought it would be a great idea if we made a fresh commitment to the Lord. Individually, made a fresh commitment to the Lord. And not that you're falling away, but just commit our bodies to Him in the new year, 2025. But you don't have to wait till 2025 to do it. You can do it right now. But it's a great way to start the new year. I'm not into all the New Year's resolution stuff, but making a fresh commitment to the Lord to present our bodies to Him. Now, you can only do that, make a fresh commitment, if you know the Lord, if you're walking with Him. But maybe you're not walking with Him. Maybe you don't know Him. Maybe you just heard this whole message about the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you and about everlasting life and new life in Christ. You just heard the gospel message. But maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some people say, well, you know, I think I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Now the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, no one's good, no, not one. You can't go to heaven because you're a good person. I know what you mean when you say that. I haven't murdered anybody. You know, I understand. Faulty comparison, because you got to compare yourself to God, perfection. The Bible says that we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. No one's good. You can't be good enough to earn your way into heaven. If you're relying on that, you're going to go to hell. However, if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your sins will be cleansed, you'll be reconciled to God, and you'll have everlasting life in heaven. And it's not a process. It's not something you work on for about a year. It's something that you do because you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today right now and you haven't called on the name of the Lord, you haven't believed in Him for forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, you can do that right here and right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you want to receive Christ or recommit your life to Christ, maybe you fell away and want to come back, just pray this prayer with me right now. You ready? Just repeat after me. Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I want to turn right now from sin and turn to you. Please forgive me for my sin. Give me everlasting life. Give birth to my spirit. Come in and dwell me by your spirit. Teach me how to follow you and live for you. Make yourself known to me and real to me. I pray and ask right now, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, first of all, welcome to the family of God and congratulations. And now you can take communion, because communion is remembering what Jesus did for you on the cross. And now as a believer, you can do that. And so welcome to the family of God. If you prayed that prayer, I'll be out in the foyer after service. Please let me know. I'd love to pray for you. And I have a Bible for you if you need one as well. And so, as we do this next song, guys are going to distribute the bread and a cup so we can come to the communion table. It's a great time to examine yourself. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. So take some time and reflect and set things right with the Lord. Maybe you have unconfessed sin, those secret sins. Maybe you have something going on in your life that you need to make right now with God. So take some time during this next song and the distribution, and then once we're all served, we'll come to the communion table together and take communion.